Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Don't You Know Who I Am? My name's Josh. Just before you hear the episode, which is a live episode recorded at the Catfish, so the final of our live shows recorded there every Sunday, we were doing that with Will Anderson, Charlie Pickering, Nath Valvo, and Sonia DiOrio. Just a bit of a heads up. There is a bit of beeping going on in this episode, and it's nothing serious. It's just that we're talking about a business, and I don't want to get sued, so we just beep the name out. That's all it is. So you're not missing anything. Huge thanks for everyone who came down. I know I thanked you last week, and you get thanked again because you're so good. I don't think I have anything else to say, really, apart from if you want to help support the podcast, become a Patreon member. That's right. You can go to patreon.com/DYKWIA. That's patreon.com/DYKWIA for a whole bunch of goodies. And so you can get a bonus podcast every month. If you are a Patreon subscriber, let me know if you like the extra bonus stuff that gets taken out of the episode or the whole new episode like we did last time with Matt Stewart and Ben Russell and Louis Theroux and Michael Caine. So, yeah, because I'm happy to do either or, you know, it's still a bit more work to do a whole new episode, but, you know, you guys are paying good money for it, so I'm happy to do it. Also, make sure if you are a Patreon subscriber, you check which tier you're giving money to, because coming up next year, I'll be doing comedy festival shows, and if you pay a certain amount a month, you get free tickets to my comedy festival shows. That's right, free podcast plus tickets. I don't know if I need to say anything else, really. So there you go. I'm going to be doing a comedy festival show next year. I'm going to be trying to head up to Brisbane and Sydney and even trying to organise another city I've never been to before in terms of doing the podcast. Been there plenty of times for comedy, but never for the podcast. So I'm going to try and get to that new city as well. Enjoy this episode. It's super, super funny. You guys are great. Share it around. Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah. If everyone can share the podcast around, let them know, because I'm getting really great feedback, especially on these last seven. And people are going, oh, I've never heard the podcast before, and going back through the whole back catalogue. And I think they all stand up. I think they're all really, really good episodes. So let people know. Try and get the podcast even bigger than it already is. And that'll make me happy. And also, you know, you've got friends who listen to it. You have to talk about it and say, yeah, I was into it way earlier. I was into it, you know, the actual first episode he recorded with Josh Thomas and Hannah Gadsby that he didn't put out because the recording was shit. Anyway, thanks for listening to this. And I will hopefully see you around. There's no live shows to promote anymore. I feel dirty. Enjoy.
Welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. I normally say what happened to me in the week. I'm recording this second one after the first one, listeners at home, and nothing else happened. The guy who's the soccer player with my name for Preston North End, he's doing very good, okay? They haven't won since he's been out, and then he's back in, they won again, so give it up for Josh Earle, yes? The editor didn't win an Emmy, but he was nominated. Just a pleasure to be nominated, And the monkey in the San Diego Zoo, who's named Josh Earle, who wears a nappy, he's still alive. So, yeah, we're doing well. We're doing well. If this is your first time listening to the pod, what I do is I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Okay, our first guest is a comedian, a TV host, and in the history of doing this show, he shares his name with the coolest other namesake of his. He shares his name with Sam Neill's duck. Can you please welcome us, Charlie Pickering?
Hello.
Hey, mate, how you doing?
Very well.
Did you wear that? For the listeners at home, he's wearing a T-shirt that says Friend of the Pod. Are you for that going, this is my podcast shirt?
Yeah, entirely. I mean, it was useful. No, it's not this pod, though.
No.
Obviously, I mean, that goes without saying. It's a different pod. That's Pod Save America.
Yeah.
Who are clearly saving America by the...
Oh, they're saved now? Is
yeah,
it all good?
Oh, judging by the news...
Everything's
I mean,
good over there?
13 bombs sent in the mail and a synagogue shot up. Yep, America's being well and truly saved at the moment.
And Donald Trump had a bad hair day today. I don't know if you heard that
in
his press conference. Bad hair day. Almost cancelled a press conference because of his hair. What a cock. I tweeted this earlier today. This is a true story, though. My 7-year-old was talking about Donald Trump today, saying he's a bad man. And my 4-year-old said, why is he bad? And my 7-year-old said, he invented the F word.
That's just fake news, man. Yeah. That's fake news.
That's the F word.
Oh, is that the F word?
Yeah, that's the F word, no.
Do you know what? I wouldn't put it past him saying that he did invent the F word. Like, just rolling at a rally, going, yeah, and I invented the F word. Everyone, yeah, lock her up. You know.
Our next guest, when you type his name into Google and click news, the top result is an interview with a headline where it says, he's out for wanky blood. It's too hard, mate. Calm it down a bit. Please welcome Nath Valver, everyone.
All right.
Hi.
I am out for wanky what?
Wanky blood.
What the hell? What does that even mean?
Good question.
I think it was your interview. Like, are you saying this is fake news?
I don't think I've ever said in public that I'm in the mood for wanky blood. What is that?
Really? Because it totally sounds like something you say.
I think you're taking down people who are drinking lattes in the inner city.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant... I heard you was wanking blood.
I meant to say that. That was the joke I was going for.
Sorry.
It'd be weird if that's how vampires operate.
I want to suck you off. Anyway, That's like a high school joke. It's so sorry. Okay. Also joining us is a comedian. When you type her name into Google, the related searches are single, lone wolf, and weird girl. Can you please welcome Sonia DiOrio?
Yo.
That is accurate.
Lone wolf?
They're both shows. Lone Wolf and Don't Kiss the Weird Girl are shows that Sonia's done.
Yep.
Single is just the internet going wild, though, making assumptions.
If anyone doesn't know who I am, that's fine. It's normal. I'm still trying to find myself. So doing yoga.
And finally is a man who shares his name with an archaeologist in Melbourne and a Canadian film composer. Can you please welcome, it's Will Anderson, everyone! Yay! Hey, Will. How you doing?
Hello. I realise that I've come dressed as Nath 20 years from now. So, I've returned from the future, Nath, to tell you you're straight now. And
not with that hairstyle.
Your hips don't work as well as they used to, mate, unfortunately.
At least you didn't dress as a fucking backdrop.
And
I mean, Sonia, I would love to see another show happen on your lap.
Anyone want to jump up? Okay.
And to anyone listening on their iPhone, it's good gear. Trust me, it's good gear.
Buy a ticket. Anyway, so our first game this afternoon is called Social Me Media. Well, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. You have to buzz in and tell me who you think tweeted it. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right. Your first question is this one. Send the drug dogs through Parliament House each day first, then the stock market, then the Logies, then the Acras, and then tell me this is
Charlie.
The problem about kids at music festivals.
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
That's 100% Will Anderson.
You are correct. Yes, it is Will Anderson there. Point there for Charlie.
On the side of kids who want to take pills at music festivals.
Yes. But that is almost like if you got a bot to hang around with Will Anderson for about the last 25 years, that is exactly the tweet it would
I
come
mean,
up with.
I mean, you're going very close to defamation, Charlie. As a former lawyer, you know, Charlie's one of those guys, a former lawyer, someone who studied a lot and built his parents' hopes up real high before he crushed them doing this shit. So,
It's a long 10 years of you doing comedy of going, I'm going to get there, I'm going to get there.
Yeah, there was some... When I told them, when I quit my law firm and told my parents, I remember my mum just washing dishes in the sink, just looking out the window while I was talking to her, and she just completely tuned out, and then occasionally would just go...
Nath, do you relate at all?
Yeah, because when I came out as gay, my parents didn't care. Then I told them I wanted to be a comedian, and they cried for a week. Mum walked around the house holding rosary beads, saying the Our Father out loud.
It's just a phase. Wanted to send a comedy conversion camp.
too soon, Will.
Next question. I got described as sad by someone who hasn't even seen my menu log history.
Will.
Yes, Will.
I'm going to say Nath.
No, it was Sonia. Oh. So a point there for Sonia.
You got that from my intro.
Oh, that makes sense to me. I understand that, though. I feel that pain. I have been living alone for a bit, and I was Uber eating. Mm. And I am one of those people who feels bad making them bring just, like, enough for me.
Yeah.
So I will buy more and then pretend there's other people there. Like, I've yelled back into the house several times to be like, yeah, I'll grab the...
Do you still eat all of it, though?
I mean, I taste all of it.
Will's doing very well, okay? He can taste it all.
Does anyone else get annoyed by the, come and meet them at the door? Like, you know, like, oh, they're nearly there. Come out. Actually, walk to the curb. Can you be out there? Can they just drive past and throw it at you? Is that allowed?
But Sonia had a race with hers the other night. Do you want to tell how
yes,
you...
Yes, yes. I wasn't sure if you were using it for the game. But I ordered Uber Eats and I was driving home. So I thought, oh, time this great. Oh. It'll arrive at my door.
I love it.
Just after I get home. No, it arrived a few minutes before I got there. And he rang and he's like, I'm here. And I'm like, I'm round the corner. I'll be there in like 5 minutes. He's like, I can wait for like 2 minutes. So... He left by the time I got there, I already paid for it. So I got home, the Uber Eats had gone.
Did he leave it there?
No, he did not leave it. That's not cool. I just ordered from a different Uber Eats place.
So it could have been more exciting though if you were getting an Uber home.
Yeah.
And so you had the two maps. Well, and you're just switching between the two maps, going, fuck, this is gonna be close. I love this game.
I think they should offer that service. Like, if they're both on Uber, and you're in an Uber and you're in an Uber Eats, it coordinates them so that you pull up beside each other in traffic, and they just pass the shit through the window.
Yeah. Uber map merge.
Yeah, it's drive
just merge
through
the maps.
It's mobile drive through. Yeah.
I get really annoyed when you order Uber Eats and then they're on a bike. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, get a car, mate. I'm hungry.
That's so elitist.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you have to walk to them? Oh, they don't have a fucking car? Fuck poor people, hey?
Do you know what I hate? I hate it when it's anything less than a luxury four-wheel drive.
I ordered some pink soup the other night. It took ages for it to get here. Should have been at the first one.
Yeah, should have.
Next question. The acting in A Star Is Born was me... The best acting in A Star Is Born was me pretending to understand a word anything Bradley Cooper said.
Will.
Yes, Will.
I'm going to go with Nath.
You are correct, yes. This
process of elimination, I reckon.
Oh, anything to do with Lady Gaga. Nathan's gay, you went and saw the midnight screening. Yes, I did. Anyway, these don't look like a Star Is Born audience, so I'll leave them a spiel for another day.
There's a lot of talk about it like it's a quasi-religious experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's real good, but like I went there for like... Look, there's movies these days. I sound like an old man here. It started... I can't remember what movie started it, where the leading guys don't talk properly. Like, they keep their mouth shut. They talk through their teeth. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, that the cowboy acting kind of thing.
Like a Marlon Brando.
Who was it? It was Brokeback Mountain.
That started. Yeah.
I love it. That's your signal for Brokeback Mountain. Yeah.
That too went to the midnight screening. But anyway. But yeah, it was a good movie. It's a good movie.
Interview with the Vampire. No, I am. Sorry. but Heath Ledger said that in the interview. He said it was he was trying to talk like a fist trying to punch out from behind teeth. And I was like, that's not how that works. But that's the way he described it. Anyway, I just remember an interview where he talked about closed mouth talking. Mm. Hi, I'm the internet. When I was just shitty Google.
When I was doing my theatre degree, my voice coach came up to me and she...
What a sentence.
I know.
I can't believe we're doing this show in Fitzroy.
She put her hands on my face and said, Josh, you're a good actor, but just open your fucking mouth.
She was a vampire.
Wow. A lot of people in the Royal Commission said that as well.
Oh.
What, too soon? Yeah, I guess it is.
Dan Banks.
It sounds like...
Am I right? They're monsters.
But it sounds like she gave you the wrong advice.
Yeah, I know.
All these guys are... Ugh.
I could have OD'd by now. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, is that too soon too? Sorry.
It's incredible that was too soon.
Yeah. Next question. 15 funniest jokes of the Edinburgh Fringe articles should be called 15 shows from the Edinburgh Fringe we just ruined the best moment of.
Charlie?
Yes, Charlie.
Was that me?
No, that was Will Anderson there. Will. Point for Will.
I don't think you can answer for yourself, can you?
Oh, really?
So I was sitting there going... That's definitely me. But from a long time ago, Josh, that's what a deep cut.
I do my research. I've got a lot of time on my hands.
Anyway, I hate those articles, though.
They are.
You see, every year in the Edinburgh Fringe, they'll publish, like, a week before the end of the festival, here are the best 15 one-liners. And if it's like, your best joke in your entire show, and just written in the paper, you've essentially just ruined 15 people's shows.
Or the other thing is that people read it and go, they're not funny.
Yeah.
Because on page, that you've lost a bit of the magic. And so they don't go, comedy's not good. And they don't go. That's my argument.
So last time
you should have subtweeted me.
Last time I was in Edinburgh, I think it was 2006, and it was reviewed as the best joke of the festival, and it was hands down the best joke of the festival. But describing it did not ruin the best joke of the festival.
Oh.
Because the best joke of the festival was a billboard that Tim Vine bought. The comedian who's from the sketch show. He's an awesome stand-up comic, really like super punster motherfucker, and he bought this billboard, giant fucking billboard. It's a big photo of him like this. And written there is, Tim Vine is not performing at this year's Fringe. And it was hands down the best joke of the festival.
I just see that and think all the people who are struggling in Edinburgh are going, that motherfucker spending like $30,000 on a joke.
Yeah. That sweet panel show money.
Yeah. Next question. It's definitely not okay to be white chocolate.
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Sonia?
No, that was Nathan Valvo. Point that to Nathan.
What did that mean?
Well, I think it was off the back of it's okay to be white. Remember when Pauline last week said this?
Yes.
Yeah,
this is good. I love doing this podcast because Josh reminds you that sometimes you're pretty funny. You might
I didn't dig too deep in yours. That was like from 4 days ago. Yeah.
Did you retweet it?
Did I retweet it? No. Ooh, there is one coming up that I retweeted of yours, though.
Ooh.
See if you can
cliffhanger.
Guess.
Do I get a point?
If someone guesses you incorrect.
Are you anti-white chocolate, though?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Really?
Don't give me your white chocolate. White chocolate is a mistake. Like, someone accidentally made white chocolate once.
I'm with
like,
you. I don't like white chocolate like, either. Nah.
I feel like white chocolate's a phase you go through. Yeah, you know, like being a comedian.
Oh, my God, I'm back at camp.
Oh. Did you not know you never left?
It's an intervention. Oh, man, imagine. Anyway.
Next question. I am art.
Fuck. Will.
Yes, Will.
Sonia.
You are correct. Yes, wow. For Will.
I'm getting it's a feel true. For it now.
What was the context?
It was a photo.
Yeah, it was.
Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was in the photo?
Me and it was like...
That curtain.
Yeah. I think it was like at a gallery and there was art projected on me. It was like a projection or something.
Good shit. Exactly what it was.
I'm very cultured. I don't just sit at home every night and order two lots of Uber Eats.
Well, I do, so if you want to come over.
HSE exams start today. To the students sitting in the exam, remember this. Get off Twitter, you have an exam.
Will.
Yes, Will.
Charlie.
You are correct, yes, point there for Will, yes.
It's timeless. Or at least perennial.
I mean, the only flaw in that is that young people are not on Twitter. Like young
That's
people
what,
are on
what
Instagram
would I have to do?
Or Snapchat,
Snapchat
or
that.
Some other young person's
If I Snapchatted that, I'd have to kill myself. Can you imagine Snapchatting that? Hey, everyone, HSC. Oh.
I don't really know how Snapchat works. Yeah. I understand that early on it was dicks and now it's apps.
It's I thought Snapchat is still just dicks.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like, don't people put things on their face and stuff? Well, again, that could still be dicks.
I think the beauty of Snapchat is like it only lasts a few seconds, I think, on Snapchat. So you can like throw someone a dick, but then it's like gone. Mm.
So there's
which
no
is
proof.
Sick.
Yeah. us are young people, we know. Yeah.
Not that young, but yeah, sure. Cool.
Have you seen many dicks on Snapchat?
Have I seen many dicks?
Yeah. Who do you reckon seen more dicks, Sonia or Nathan? On Snapchat.
That is the,
Snapchat.
That's the easiest question of today. Oh, on Snapchat. thought you meant today. I don't know.
How many today? Did you go on a march or something?
What marches have you been to? There's just dicks hanging out, Greeny.
No one notices because they're all concentrating on the signs.
Oh, yeah, good point. No.
Obviously.
What a weird strategy.
Who know you?
I was on Snapchat for about a month, like back in the day when I was single. So I didn't get that.
You know,
many
it's
dicks.
Not a dating app.
Well, I know, but like it is. Like if you're on Snapchat, you're after nudes.
Okay.
Like no one's on Snapchat to chat about the weather.
Yeah.
Do you think? Are you
I
on
don't.
Snapchat?
I've had sex on Snapchat.
Like on it?
What do you mean on it? Like you sent what?
Over Snapchat.
Next question.
Hang on.
Next question. How?
Wow.
All right. Next question. True story. My therapist sees a bunch of comedians and she refuses to give me the names and who she thinks has the best material in sessions.
Sonia.
Charlie.
Yes, Sonia.
Nate?
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Sonia, yes.
Do I get a point?
No, but you can lie back and we can
fix... this is going to be... Okay, I'm going to go softly around this one. I don't want to say any... She won't give me the names, by the way. And tell me if this is weird. Anyone, this is not even a comedian thing. Like, my therapist came and saw my show at the festival last year. Is that weird?
I've had a lot of people say that.
About
therapists.
My show.
It was just a crowd full of therapists.
I think it's only weird if they came to see your show and then the next session was like, so I think we've got a lot to talk about.
My therapist literally said to me once, she was a little old lady, and she said to me, she goes, you know the irony of this is that people normally pay to watch you talk, but you have to pay and I just get to listen to you talk. And I was like, fuck you.
Well, was this little old lady in Melbourne?
Oh, do you go to a therapist who's
a little old lady in Melbourne that told me she sees a bunch of comedians.
Well, hey,
and
Nate.
Did you hear the tweet? She won't give me names.
Hey, Nate.
So,
does she work down the road here?
It's near here.
Like this is amazing. You're not going to believe
East
this.
East Melbourne.
because
East Melbourne?
Nicholson Street.
Yeah. Oh. Saint, did put you onto it?
Fucking hell.
Probably can't say
I don't
her
name.
I'm pretty sure something here was a breach of confidentiality.
I know. Whatever conversation, George, there was no fucking microphone near us.
Let's say just a random person.
Because that's also my therapist.
Yeah. So the weird thing is I actually am a psychologist, but I do it disguised as a little old lady, only for material.
But it's just that thing. She did say, said something. It's like, is this weird for you? She was like, oh, no, I actually see a lot of artists. And I'm like, yeah, but like comedians are a particular sort of like selfish.
Oh, you're so special.
Thank you. I was like, just tell me I'm special, Dad. I mean, therapist. she said, don't worry, I see a lot of comedians.
Lot.
And then I said, oh, that's really cool. Am I the funniest one that you see? Do I give you the funniest stories about my childhood? And she just wouldn't say anything.
Holy shit. Well, a lot of comedians can't afford a mortgage, like to buy their own house. It's good that they're collectively paying for someone's
putting all our money together.
This woman. Yeah.
But anyway.
Am I the funniest? No. But but it's competitive for neediest.
I was going to say...
That would be the fucking... the most needy competition in the... Could you imagine?
I mean...
The neediness of comedians.
But also, just why the fuck are you trying to make your therapist laugh? Try to make your audience laugh and then go to your therapist and tell them the fucking truth. Like, you've got it the wrong way around, fucking idiot. Like, are you finding this funny? She's not a paying punter. Book a fucking troll
show. She was last year, so I'm doing something right, Will Anderson. Mate. All that exit flyering I do at the end of the session bought me a fucking ticket.
So that's...
Well, guess the thing. Hey.
Want to hear the end of that story? Come see me 7:30 next, you know.
She didn't come to my show, so fuck.
I think she went to a show.
And our last question for this round. I'm pretty sure Australia is the bad place, which is what I say watching The Good Place and also just reading the news.
Will.
Yes, Will.
Nath?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Will. That's the one I retweeted, Nath.
Do I get a point?
Fan of the Good Place. No,
it's
you got
such
my retweet.
A good show.
It's what?
It's a good show.
It's a great
place.
Show.
Yeah.
Is anyone here watching The Good Place? Yes, it's really good.
It's good.
It's great.
Do you know I'm the voice coach?
Sorry?
I'm the voice coach on the Good Place. Oh, yeah? I taught them all how to do Australian accents.
Is this
did
a
callback? Did you walk up, put your hands on their face and just go, open your fucking mouth?
I walked up to the one and said, you're not going to be on after episode 5. Anyway, so spoiler alert. Anyway, it's fine. Okay, at the end of the round, the scores are... Nath on 1 point. Give up for Nath Valvo, everyone.
I think that's my highest score ever, Josh.
Charlie Pickering on 1 point as well.
Come on. There it is.
Sonia on 2 points. In the lead on 5 points, it's Will Anderson.
Nath, you are heaps better at this game in the future.
Yeah. All right, this round is called Holiday, It Would Be So Great. Now, we've all taken holidays, some good, some not so great. Today, we're talking about a holiday that a young Charlie Pickering took.
Oh. Mm.
Now, at 12 years old, Charlie and his family went to the happiest place in the world, Disneyland. But what happened to Charlie that put a bit of a dampener on this trip?
This story has definitely come up with my therapist.
Was it A very large American woman sat on Charlie while he was sitting on a bench? She was so big that she couldn't get up off the bench on her own, and her two children had to lift her off. Charlie says the most scared he's ever been in his life. Was it B, Charlie picked a fight with the guy in the costume for the chipmunk Chip of Chippendale fame? The fight got so heated that the costume Dale had to hold back the costume Chip. Or C, Charlie had been standing in line for 2 hours to ride the Peter Pan's flight ride. When Charlie and his family got to the front of the line, the father of the family behind them had a heart attack and the ride was shut down while paramedics raced to the scene.
Fuckers.
A, B, or C. You can ask Charlie as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong because he will get your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Charlie, can I ask you this?
Yes.
In the Chip and Dale scenario, how were you aware which one was Chip and which one was Dale?
Because Dale has a red nose and Chip has a black nose.
Can anyone verify that?
Get your phones out. Come on. Fact check.
No, feel free to fact check it, but... That shit checks out.
Why were you sitting on a bench? There's so many rides and stuff to go on.
Well, it's physically impossible to remain moving for an entire day, particularly as a 12-year-old. One needs to rest.
So you just sit
to
down
collect
and have a
yourself.
Rest.
Yeah, there's a lot of no. You cover a lot of ground at Disneyland. Mm. There's Frontierland, Spaceland, the other one, the Pirates of the Caribbean, apparently, and. And yeah, no, you gotta rest. It's an exhausting day.
What were your family doing when you were getting crushed by an enormous
It was a mix of laughing and panicking. Right. Yeah. But mainly laughing.
When you were telling Josh the story about the bench, if it is true, did you, as modern-day Charlie Pickering who works at the ABC, wonder if that would be a story about fat shaming and that you shouldn't include it in information that you gave to Josh for this game show?
The thought did cross my mind, but at the same time, I was telling the story as remembered by a 12-year-old me.
No, don't
before
buy it.
Wokeness.
I'm ruling that one out.
Before wokeness was invented.
I'm ruling that one out. You would not bring that sort of material to the table. You've got a new show launching this week. You can't afford a Herald Sun scandal.
Twitter storm.
That's not true.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like he studied law because he's like he's fucking on trial here, like, grilling him.
Yeah.
Have you told this story to a little old lady on Nicholson Street?
Yeah, but not a therapist. Just a little Greek nonna.
Sitting on a bench and going, you know what I could do to you right now?
Excuse me, you'll love this.
The heart attack guy, did you stick around to see what happened in that scenario?
No, it was a bit traumatic, so my folks kind of, we moved away, but they said the ride was going to be closed down for a little while. It was one of two ride failures we had for the day. Mm-hmm. The other one was probably the worst, was we went on the It's a Small World ride, which is where you get on these little boats and you it's inside like a tunnel. And you chug along and you go past all the nations of the world and they're these very small, severely racist dolls from every country around the world. And they sing in very racist accents, but they all sing, it's a small world after all. Anyway, halfway through, our boat actually broke down and we got stuck in there for an hour with the song fucking looping around.
And the Australian government refused to rescue you and sent you to another island. Yeah. So
that's
it's
right.
A small world, Nauru.
Yeah, but the exciting part was we actually got to get up out of the boat and step onto, like I think we stepped onto South Korea and walked out. There was an exit near there. Yeah.
That's such a Charlie Pickering childhood story. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least I'm on brand. But so, yeah, there were two disasters on the day as far as, like, complete time waster fuck-ups.
I mean, do you feel like, out of the two disasters, that Josh has led with the heart attack one, he's led with the not-as-good story? Because I reckon that small world story is better.
Yeah, I mean, the small world story is funnier, I reckon, but the... I mean, a man having a heart attack is a fucking... It's a grabber.
All right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Things break down all the time, but a heart attack in front of you is pretty...
That's the one I'm going with, Josh.
You think it's going to be C? So, yep. Sonia, what do you think?
I think A.
You think A, that he got sat on by a large woman? And Nath?
Well, I want to go C too, but I just don't want to copy future me, but...
it works out.
It's okay, man. We change.
It gets better.
I've seen, like, one dick today.
Yours?
Yeah. Yeah, mine. Yeah. No, a little old lady on...
Well, the correct answer was B. He got in a fight with Chip of Chippendale. Really? So 3 points 100%. There for Charlie.
It literally got to the point where... like, Dale was holding back Chip. And it was like, no, man, he's not worth it. You know, like that? It was like that situation.
Your kids are in the car, man, like,
it was seriously like, you're going to lose your job, man. Like, and he'd started talking. Like, you know, normally they don't talk. It's all like, you know, like that. But he was just going, man, let's go. like you're going to lose your job. Let's go. And it was pretty funny.
Nate, Sonia, any fights with Chippendales?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
It was so boring.
Although, do you know, interesting thing enough about the severely overweight woman on the bench was at the airport flying home from that holiday, I sat on the end of a bench at the airport and a large woman sat on the other end and it literally flipped up like a seesaw and my sister had to run over and grab it and pull it down. So there was some truth in that story as well.
Can I get half a point for that?
No.
No, you can't. All right, at the end of the round, the scores are Nath on 1 point. Give it for Nath Ervo.
Don't bother.
Sonia on 2 points. One. Charlie now on 4 points, but still in the lead on 5 points is Will Anderson. All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. I'll read out a story about someone on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. You get a point if you get it right. A point to the person the story is about if you get it wrong. So, to Charlie. When Nath was a teenager, his dad found gay porn on the family computer. Nate denied it was his and said it must be a virus. The next day, his dad took it in to get fixed.
Took the computer in, not me.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's not a virus, Dad. It's not a virus.
You can ask him as many questions as you want.
How old are you?
How old am I now?
Yeah.
34.
Yeah, you would have had the internet.
Yeah, jokes out.
Which would have given you pretty much an unlimited access to gay porn. Yeah, that checks out. How old's your dad?
He turned 70 like a month ago.
70, hey? And you're saying he found it on the computer?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because my dad's only a couple of years over 70 and he's only just Googled something for the first time. And he took it in to get it fixed.
Mm. The whole thing.
How did
I
that,
think he took
how
the
did that go down?
As well.
I was going to say... No, he just chucked that in the bin. He goes, nah, this one's ruined. So how did it go down the shop?
Yeah, I don't remember that part.
I thought I really remember that part of the story.
I think, to be honest, I think the shopkeepers did me a solid and probably took that computer into the back room and went, okay, some homo...
Shut the window.
Some little gay kid's just been sprung here. This is all some sort of elaborate thing. I think they just handed it back to him and said, all fixed.
What year would this have been?
I think I was like 18, so 2001.
No.
You think no?
No.
You are incorrect. It was true, yeah. Point there for now.
It's a great story then. It's a great story. Wonderful story.
Yeah.
Is that in your festival show? It's a great story.
A long time ago, yeah.
Good story.
Yeah.
I should have seen you when you're up and comer. I'm sorry, I was very busy, had a lot on.
That's okay.
And you're not his therapist, so you're not obliged to go to his show.
Okay, so...
Do I get like 4 points for
you
that?
You get 1 point, also you and your dad have a bond that can't be broken. So... how did your dad react now that you're out? Did he go,
He didn't care at all. There was no issue about it. I think if he actually said, whose gay porn is this? And I said, mine, it would have been the end of the chat. But I wasn't ready to say that, Charlie. So I was like, oh, fucking, that's gross. I was like, Dad, I saw that today. Our computer's got a virus.
That's not like how they taught us at school.
Yeah.
No, that is.
Yeah.
How? That was a royal commission.
Okay, to Nate. Yes. Sonia recently went on a date with a guy. It went well and she went back to his house. Only said that in his room he had 8 very large snakes in tanks.
Is this a euphemism or...?
No, I was only expecting to see one.
She wanted to leave, but he said that they're all secure and she believed him, sat on the bed, only for a snake to slide out from under the pillow.
Oh. Gotta hate when that happens. Now,
yeah or nah?
Where did you meet the guy?
On... A good app.
On singlesnakeslovers.com.
So not Snapchat.
No, not Snapchat.
Okay, so like one of the other ones. Mm.
Steve Irwin's Australia's good.
It was on Tinder.
Tinder?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did he have in his profile that he had an interest in snakes?
No. He is a wildlife presenter.
Oh, that's hot.
So, yeah. Well, he goes around to like schools and stuff and shows the children reptiles.
Is this Bob Irwin? Did you fuck Bob Irwin?
Next story.
I'm going to say that didn't happen. Nah.
You are correct. Yes, it was a lie.
The points. You're better than that.
Yeah.
It was 11 snakes.
Not second. I'm not fucking some 8 snake loser. Kidding?
Okay, to Sonia. Now, Will was on a flight.
Oh, here we go.
Not that story. Different story.
And the reviews were wonderful.
It's true. It's the most profitable flight I've ever
had. Will was on a flight when he noticed the guy next to him was watching Will's stand-up special. Will became very curious to see what this guy's reaction was. And knows the guy did not laugh a single time. Yeah or nah?
What airline was it?
Good
is
question.
It Qantas?
Qantas.
I didn't realise there was other ones.
We get it. You've got money.
Oh, good. Because that was the joke. I was going to No, it was on Qantas. It was on Qantas. They've started showing my Stan special on Qantas flights. And I was sitting next to a guy on the plane and he was watching my show and he hadn't noticed that I was sitting next to him. And then I became fascinated by the fact that he was watching my show. And then it became a point of contention because he wasn't laughing.
Did he watch the entire thing?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Like the flight was like between Sydney and Melbourne, so he can barely fit in the whole show. And he like watched the whole show. Started watching the minute he got on, finished watching as we finished the flight.
Wow.
Didn't laugh.
No smirk.
Not once. Not, no. No. But kept watching. So either out of hate or out of like, I bet it'll be funny at some stage or like there was going to be a big payoff or something. But yeah.
And he was awake.
I mean, I didn't take a pulse or anything, Sonia, but I believe he was awake. Yeah,
he was
doing other things that would, like, unless he sleep watches my special. Like, yeah, he was, yeah.
I think it's false.
You are incorrect. It was true. Yes, point there for Will.
It is true.
So I can't believe he didn't recognise you. He didn't look over once and well, go, wow, Valvo's got
like,
old.
I like to, in the rest of my life when I'm not working, not look like how I look at work for, you know, just privacy or whatever. But so I was in a hat and I kind of had like a beard and stuff. And like, so he hadn't just noticed, but I really noticed. And he like watched the entire thing. So I hope he was enjoying it, but he literally did not laugh once. And I started preparing myself towards the end because I'm like, at some stage he'll finish and then he'll like turn over. You know, it's like, no, sometimes he'll finish and then he'll turn over. And I... not everything's changed. And I... anyway, this guy was my therapist and I said, who's got the funniest Stan special?
And it was Ophelia Mercola.
So the whole time I was like, oh, well, at some stage this will become a funny moment, right? He's going to notice that I'm like here. And then it got to the end of the flight and he didn't notice at all that it was me. And then I was like, should I? Like yeah. Now I'm in that bit where I'm like, oh, maybe I should be like, hey, I noticed you watched my, like, and make the first move, but then I didn't. And then I was like, okay, well, it's done now. But then we got down to the baggage carousel and he was standing real near me. And then I was still like, oh, it's weird now if I do it, isn't it? Like, if it's weird if I go up to him now. So I didn't. But anyway, if you're listening, sir,
yeah,
please email me. I can't sleep. I'm feeling terrible. I'm ordering way more Uber Eats than I need. I'm burning through my money. Just please, just send me a fucking tweet or a Snapchat and just, ha, that'll do. That's all I...
Will, you don't seem to be coping with this. I've got a number of a little old lady I think you should see.
She's just sitting on a bench outside. Anyway, so to Will. Now, when Charlie was in grade 8, a boy named Alex, who was in year 10, was bullying Charlie and asked him, or told Charlie, didn't ask him, told him to pay him $10 every day, otherwise he'll beat him up. The next day, Charlie went to school with $20 and gave it to the biggest kid in the school and said, I'll give you this. If you tell Alex, you'll beat him up if he touches me. It worked, and Alex never bothered Charlie ever again.
I mean, the bullying definitely checks out. Like that.
That's, I mean, the first bit of the story I locked in straight away. I was like, Charlie was being bullied. Okay, that makes sense. Yep. But by an older guy, and then he used money as a way to... Oh, yeah, that's your lawyer mind. It does feel very Charlie Pickering. It feels like... In fact, it feels like your new show coming to ABC TV Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. It seems like a hypothetical situation that you've solved with a reach around. Sorry, guys. not everything's changed. But I... this feels to me like you've taken some of that sweet inner city pharmacy money that your dad was earning. people hard earned money spent on Nurofen or...
Are you the bully in this story, Will?
Well spotted. Very well spotted.
I'm just trying to bring it back to that moment in the hope that he might crack.
and give me $20. I'm going.
Yeah, I reckon this sounds like something that you would be clever enough to do. I'm going to say yes, correct.
It was nah, play for Charlie, boom. Yes.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Never got bullied.
You got bullied.
Oh, I got bullied. Yeah. Oh, yes, indeed.
And he's here tonight, guys. No, it's not.
Not all of them. Surely not.
I'd love to see that.
I'm going down the stairs.
At the end of the round, the scores are Sonia on 2 points. Everyone give it for Sonia. Oh, Nate on 3 points.
Charlie on 5 points, but in the lead just on 6 points is Will Anderson.
Ooh. This is a close one, huh?
Yeah. This is our final round for the final round.
Fuck nuts.
For the live season. It's called Hoo 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 in this round. I'll read out 10 questions all about you guys. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your name's your buzzer. You can't buzz in for your own ones. You get a point if you get it right. A point off if you get it wrong.
It's confusing how you buzz in with a name, but that name is not the answer to the question. You need to say another name. Baffling.
You can buy me buzzers if you want then. Okay, so... okay, question one. Who here once went on a date in a cemetery?
Will.
Yes, Will.
Sonia.
You are correct. Yes, it was true. Yes.
She says no to snakes.
Guilty.
Yes, was it planned?
No, we were on a date and I said, do you want to go to the cemetery?
You said, do you want to meet my parents?
Why wouldn't I?
They're alive.
How bad
right?
is a date going?
Grandparents. Did it was you actually just... a good date.
Which cemetery?
Yeah. Melbourne Cemetery.
Oh. You were like,
nice cemetery. What?
That's a nice cemetery.
You're walking through there going, speaking of bones.
And it's
no matter of puns. Stiffs everywhere. Like Nate Sunday.
It's right near Ligon Street too. You just walk around for a while going, you feel like pasta?
Yeah.
Let's get some fucking pasta.
I once slept in that cemetery.
Wow.
What?
Slept in there when I first moved here. I've told this on the podcast.
It was on our date.
Yeah. I get tired. Anyway, no.
So hang on. What happened?
I was meant to be staying with a friend. Mm-hmm. I called him up. He wasn't answering his phone. I didn't know where his house was. And so I was in Ligon Street and went, well, I can't just walk the streets all night. Mm. Where will be a quiet place to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
A cemetery. Mm. So I walked, jumped the fence, slept there. At 4 in the morning, he turned his phone back on, messaged me saying, hey, I'm up. Sorry, I've missed your calls. So, yeah, 2 hours sleeping in the cemetery.
That's some fucking male privilege, isn't it?
Yeah.
That neck of the woods. Anyway.
Next question. Who once did a gig where a war hero was lowered from the stage to his seat for the first 5 minutes of the show?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Will.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, that is true. Yes.
Yeah, that is true. It was a corporate function for a big bank. And it was in like a big convention centre. So they'd put in an artificial stage. In the middle of the convention centre, and the guy who was speaking before me was this guy in a wheelchair who was a war hero who'd just climbed Mount Everest in a wheelchair. So it was a pretty like exciting moment. And the MC of the night was a guy called Tim Webster from the TV that people might know. He didn't really leave enough time in between the war hero speaking and me speaking. And so the war hero had to like wheel over to this thing on the side where they just lowered him down bit by bit off this like artificial stage. And that was like the first 5 minutes of my act while I'm trying to like get like, hey, how are you guys going?
When you sent this through, the first time I read, I thought you meant like from the ceiling. Same. It was like just lowered down.
I went straight to Lady Gaga again in my head.
I mean, that would have been better. Like that would have been actually better because they wouldn't have like, I would have been able to get them first before they noticed the war hero. But no.
What'd you open with? Like what was you?
I mean, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't do.
No, I'm more after the juxtaposition. You know, it's just like, what's with Eddie Maguire on Millionaire or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no, it would have been just like basic corporate material. It would have been like, grew up on a farm, you know, my dad's lived on the same road all his life.
It's not that tough. That guy's in a fucking wheelchair. Yeah, it was pretty tough growing up on the farm. Like fun it was.
Next question. Who got fired from a radio gig a month after getting a tattoo for the station?
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Nate?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, a point there for Sonia, yeah.
Oh, it's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Well, wait for it. It's even
worse. Oh, no, it's not, Charlie. You wait.
What radio station?
It was a community radio station. Oh. So I got fired from a volunteer position. How is that possible, Charlie Pickering?
Yeah, but at least your tattoo's got more cred than fucking Hot Tomato FM on the Gold Coast.
No.
Wait for the tattoo now.
Hey, shut up, Josh. Kylie Minogue signature, ladies and gentlemen, is tattooed on my arm.
Oh, wow. That's pretentious.
I wanted to get her on my show, on the community radio station. This was a long time ago. And her people said no, as if, you know, she's going to do Hamish and Andy and all the other big ones. And she's not coming on your stupid radio show. And so then I did this thing of like, well, I'll do a promise that if she does it, then I'll get a tattoo for it. And then I did that, and then it worked. And then I got to, like, interview her, which was sick. Best day of my life. And then did that as a kind of, like, some content, bit of hot content. And then that went really well. And then, like, a month later, I got fired because they got heaps of complaints about me. Not about that, just about...
HR or from listeners?
No. Listeners. A lot of listeners right. were like, you know, he's annoying. This is a lot for breakfast radio, like 6 a.m. So I got fired.
Wow. That's
so funny, is it? Does the little old lady make more sense to you people now?
Did you mention to everybody there was a Greyhound racing station? Why does he keep talking about Kylie Minogue?
So...
Well, thanks very much, Kylie. Great to have you in the studio. We're going out to Dapto for race number four now.
So anyway, it's a great station now. Support it. Don't boycott it because I know you want to, but just leave it because it's a good station. Donate, all that.
Kylie, can you just record a quick station ID for me? If you can just say, Khan the Dish Lickers. I'm Kylie Minogue. Khan the Dish Lickers.
Son of Red Rocket. Anyway, so... Next question. Who was once meant to interview Tex Perkins but was so overawed they didn't ask a single question in the interview?
Will.
Yes, Will.
Charlie.
You are correct. Yes, point there for Will, yes.
Did you get a tattoo?
No. It was the most embarrassing professional experience of my life. Because he came in...
Come on, let us nominate.
Is it killer policeman?
Yeah, New Year's Eve, AB, sir.
Yeah. That was the most Alan Partridge thing I'd ever done in my fucking life. I was interviewing Tex Perkins. Well, I wasn't, but it was with Mel Bampton. And I froze. I was so in awe of Tex Perkins. Didn't get a question out the whole time. And then just as the interview was wrapping up, he just went, and what's with that guy? He's a cool motherfucker.
Next question. Who here has conducted the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra?
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Charlie?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Sonia, yeah.
Well done.
Wow. They loved it.
That silence was no one being impressed with you and everyone being disappointed in the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Look, they were in a pinch. I was walking past. I was like, yeah, I could fucking do that. No. It was a fundraiser. They did a marathon 24-hour orchestra thing and I conducted with Josh Thomas.
When you are conducting in that... Are you actually conducting or is it like McHappy Day where like you've got the uniform on but you're not really making the burgers?
Oh, there's a lot of McHappy Day about it. It's all PR. Yeah. It's all playing front of
house.
It's
not like when you go like this, the violins are going, well, fuck, he's the boss.
Yeah. It was remarkably unlike Bugs Bunny as the great Leopold.
Here's my thing with conductors. Are they like... They're professional musicians. Just learn the song like other bands do.
Yeah, it's a big band.
Yeah, so it's the Polyphonic Spree. They learn all their songs. They play for like 2 hours.
I think a lot of people would suggest the Polyphonic Spree had an unsustainable business model from the beginning.
Good point.
That was amazing. Every time I went to a Polyphonic Spree gig, I was waiting for them to offer fucking Kool-Aid to the audience.
St. Vincent.
No Jonestown fans in. Okay, that's fine.
Next question. Whose first job was an all-you-can-eat restaurant?
Will.
Yes, Will.
Sonia.
You are correct. Yes, point there for Will. Yes. What was it? Was it Smorgies?
No, it was back home in the country. Pizza restaurant. Yeah, all-you-can-eat.
Was it when Pizza Hut used to be all-you-can-eat or was it actual just random pizza
random
restaurant?
Place. Random place. The clientele were... Great. No. You see
so
a lot of
called?
Things in an all-you-can-eat restaurant.
What was it called?
It was called...
Oh, was it Italian thing?
Yeah. Wow. Italian thing.
No, it might have been a guy just who was called... Not as
I love
in...
That it was
not
a
as in... Like
it's a pizza restaurant called... And your question is it an Italian thing?
I may have missed one essential detail in the telling of the story.
Well, I mean, it's... You're like kind of... Bringing up the mafia thing, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Next question. Who, the first time they had sex with someone, used a fake name?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Nate.
Yeah, you are correct. It was Nate Velvet, yes.
How offensive. And yes, you're correct.
Well, yeah, it was line
the irony. The irony was the name was Will.
Why fake name?
Can you guess my name? Can you, like, go back to, I was
Brian.
I was like...
Brian.
I was like, Brian? I was like 16 or 17 or something. So like 17-year-old me thought this was like a hot boy
Chad.
Name. Like any Brandon. Guy named this is hot. Nah, I was Tim.
Tim.
Wow.
Like, Tim.
The hottest name I could think of was Tim.
So after Western Australian wicketkeeper and spin bowler Tim Zura?
Yeah. I don't understand what half of those words were, Will.
It's amazing. The moment you said Tim, I got a little bit hard. I won't be honest.
And like Tim Zura, the gloves were off.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. I know my Sheffield Shield from the 80s, yeah.
Tim.
Tim. What? Why a fake name? Just
because I met him on the internet.
Mm. Ah.
And you're bound, you're bound by obligation to lie?
Yes. Well, yeah, so it was Tim or 69me at hotmail.com, my other name. So.
And I know that guy.
Yeah. I met him at...
Our final
question.
Well,
that was all you can eat.
Weirdly, not an Italian restaurant. Do you know that? Best sushi in town.
Yeah. Do you know what? All you can eat sushi is an odd proposition. Yeah. You got to fucking love sushi, don't you?
And our final question for the game. Who here has been carried onto stage twice in their life?
Charlie.
Picked up and carried. Yes, Charlie.
Will.
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Charlie. Yes.
Yeah, not just twice in my life, but twice in a row. I did two corporate shows. One was like lifesaver themed, and so they like carried me in. Lifesavers carried me in. And then the next night, right. I did one that was jungle themed, and so they had like one of those sort of ancient canapes that like you got carried in on the back of these jungle guys. And I just there was one person who was at both shows. And they honestly asked me afterwards, they were like, is it a prerequisite that someone carries you on stage? No.
Although I'm thinking of adding it to my contract for corporates. That's a really good idea.
I really hope it wasn't the same gig as the guy in the wheelchair.
Being lowered.
You're being brought on by lifesavers. All hot, all named Tim. All bringing you straight on.
At the end of the game, the scores are Nate Valvo on 3 points.
Don't applaud. I'm always last.
Yes.
It's all right.
Maybe you trust too easy.
Yeah.
I know.
Sonia DiOrio on 4 points. Charlie Pickering, 8 points. But our winner on 9 points is Will Anderson. Oh. Before we go, quick round of plugs. Will, where can people hear and see you?
Oh, I have a tour that's on at the moment. It's about me getting arrested on a plane. Pakenham, Bendigo, Noosa, Townsville are some shows that are on sale. And I'm doing a week of work in progress shows at the Sydney Comedy Store, December 7 to 15.
Awesome. Sonia, where can people see you?
Just if you find me on Facebook, Sonia DiOrio, I've always got a whole heap of gigs coming around town. Or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat.
Send all your snake pics.
Nate,
do people listen to this in London?
Yes.
Oh, great. If you're in London, can you please come and see me at the Soho Theatre first week of December? That'll be great.
Great.
And what if you're not in London, can you please tell your friends to come that are in London?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you see the desperation in my face over this podcast?
It's such a good... you're at the Soho. It's such a good venue. Awesome. You've played there before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like,
when there's people
come
there,
out.
It's sick.
Yeah. There will be.
Thank
people
you,
love
Will.
You.
Thank you.
Charlie.
9 o'clock Wednesday nights on the ABC, tomorrow tonight with Annabelle Crabb. It's premiering this Wednesday and continuing in order.
Can you go for everyone on the stage right now? Can you go for everyone here at the Catfish? The last 7 weeks, they've all been amazing. So Geordie on sound. Thank you guys for coming out for the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
You guys have been so much fun to hang out with. Especially the season pass holders have been coming every week. Thank you. I've been Josh. Let's have a drink. And yeah, thank everyone one more time. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you, Josh.
Josh.
Give it up for Josh.
Josh.
G'day, mate.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.